Hey, it's Tess Green, and this is We Are All Stories.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Here we are this week for the two-parter episode. So we have episode 5, Rise of the Cybermen. And then episode 6, Age of Steel. We'll start with episode 5 and listen to some clips. I don't have actually a crazy amount of clips for episode 5, which is kind of funny because I think a lot of the plot happens, but I found that, you know, not a lot of clips. So I will just talk a bit about it and insert the clips that I do have, and then we'll go through episode 6. So let's start with series 2, episode 5, Rise of the Cybermen. So this was written by Graham Harper and directed by Tom McRae. And the original air date was May 13th, 2005. Tom McRae only does these two episodes this series. We'll see if we see him again later on. But yeah, I do really enjoy these episodes. It's quite nice. It's kind of futuristic, and it's one of those episodes where there's an item that's coming along in technology, and we're a little bit scared of it. It's like, I don't know, our scared futuristic movies. We do them all the time, like with the robots and everything, where they just take over the world. So we think we have this technology that's so cool, and it just gets too far ahead. And I really like how they do that. I mean, it's not very realistic because, I don't know. They kind of paint humans as dumb. But other than that, it's very entertaining because, of course, we are not thinking of ourselves as grouped with the humans, even though technically, guys, just a heads up, we would be. But we are thinking of ourselves with the heroes, so we think of ourselves as different. The cold open here is John Lumick. Did I say his name right? Lumick, yep. And he's talking about the Cyberman he has just created. I don't know what he calls it. Anyhow, he's talking about Cybermen and how it's the new race of human, blah, 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 blah. So that's our intro. I didn't really have a clip from it. I felt like it was a good start to the story. This first half is very technical. It writes down the whole plot points. I feel like next episode we get to a lot more of the emotional moments. We have some emotional moments, and I will go through them this episode, or this first half, as it were. But yeah, a little different. Good intro though. It really introduces the story. It introduces the villain, the problem, really sufficiently and quite succinctly. So, good job.
Munchkin lady with the big eyes. Do you remember the way she looked at you? And then she opened her mouth and fire came out.
I thought I was going to get a present.
Yeah, 1 minute she's standing there, then it goes.
Yeah. Where was that then? What happened?
I was on this
Planet thing, asteroid. It's a long story. You had to be there.
Okay, I love this first clip. Rose and the Doctor just chatting. It's so fun. I mean, this to me displays the dynamic on the TARDIS perfectly. Of course Mickey's being left out. Of course. That's no surprise to me. That's like when you go to a party with people who just hung out for the whole past summer. Everything they're talking about is like their moments they've had together, and you're like, don't forget about me, please. And I feel like Mickey is that person, because Rose also, let's be honest, just wants to be the doctor. But I do like the dynamic of three people better, because you do get that one person left out. And you do get that moment later where the doctor's like, I can't chase after both of you. And Mickey's like, yeah, pick one of us, and you're obviously going to go after Rose. And I love that moment where it's like, yeah, he's one person. He can't take care of both of them. He can't run after both of them if they go off in opposite directions. And I like that dynamic. I also really like the chumminess between Rose and the doctor. So good. Just so good. They are so cute. Those two. How adorbs.
Let's tell us neither of them.
Still. We can get help. Yeah?
My friend.
Where we've landed, we've got to be somewhere.
We fell out of the vortex, through the void into nothingness.
I found some bad place.
This is the first intro into the void. I don't think we've talked about it yet in the new series. The void and void space and stuff like that. And I really like the discussion of it. It will become very imperative at the end of the series. All About the Void, so I do like how we're bringing that up now, and we're having a little bit of a discussion on it. I think it's very important to kind of get the groundwork, and Doctor Who tends to do it pretty well, where they try to lay the groundwork earlier on in the season for certain technical ideas or thoughts that don't need to be a surprise, really. I mean, it is a surprise because we don't know how it'll connect, but it is laying the framework now, so you've heard it, and by the time we get to it in the final episode, we will understand. And we will know. Kind of. We'll have kind of general idea. It's a nice just a little ping back there. I like that.
It's beautiful.
Okay, so it's London with a big international reception festival.
This is not your world.
But if the date's the same. It's parallel, right? And I'm right, like the parallel left when they got Zeppelins. I'm right on it.
Must be.
It's a parallel world, Brent.
Oh, come on. You've seen it on films, like an alternative to our world where everything's the same but a little bit different. Like, I don't know, Chocolate Lights are blue, Tony Blair never got elected.
And he's still alive. Parallel world and my dad's still alive.
Don't look at it, Rose. Don't even think about it. This is not your world.
Okay, here we are in a parallel world. I love this as well, guys. I think I just love different parts of this episode. Parallel worlds are great. Here we are talking about jumping into a parallel world. So fun. It is fun to do these kind of opportunities where actors can play themselves, but other versions of themselves. So Mickey gets to do this, Pete Tyler, Jackie Tyler, they all get to play other versions of themselves. And I enjoy that. I enjoy that dichotomy to those characters. It's fun. It's fun to be a little bit different, but the same. And I think they do a really good job. And I enjoy this parallel world. And now it's Zeppelins. Of all the random things, they chose Zeppelins. And Rose says they're so beautiful. Are Zeppelins beautiful? I don't know. I wonder if Doctor Who just had leftover clips from when Rose was hanging out of a Zeppelin. In the other episode, back in series one. I wonder. They just had those props. I'm like, let's make it Zeppelins. It just is funny because it seems so backwards. We don't have Zeppelins. I don't know. So funny. And I don't know why.
So inner pieces. Like Bluetooth attachments, but everyone's connected together.
It's on my phone. So it's my signal. It's downloading. Just looking at it. News. International news. Sports. Weather.
They get it direct. Downloaded right into their heads.
TV schedules. Lottery numbers.
Everyone shares the same information. Daily download published by Cybers Industry. You lot, you're obsessed. You do anything against Android?
Really? Not my lot. Different world,
remember? So far, if you're not, this place is only parallel. Oh, look at that. Cybers Industry owns just about every company in Britain, including Vitex. Mr. Planner, they're all connected.
Now this is the part where we talk a little bit about technology. So this is the idea of the world being taken over by people through technology. So this is kind of a fear about, like, it looks kind of like those Bluetooth headphones and being connected by technology and like the easy daily download. I do like this thought. It's kind of thought provoking. Like, are we really like this? Is this our future? What do we see in the future? And Doctor Who does bring these things up often. I feel like I just did an episode recently about this topic, and not necessarily this exact one, but about like the horrors and fears of technology. So I like this kind of, I like how thought-provoking it is, and I like how it's linked to a villain that isn't technology, really. I don't know, like, it's Cybermen or not human. The creator of Cybermen, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that. We're just gonna skip that. Skip it. I do like this idea. Yeah, and I like it's not too hard pushed. I mean, it is a little pushed, but yeah. That's basically it. That's my thoughts on that part.
Who is it? I know you're there. Shame on you, trickier old lady. I've got nothing worth stealing. And don't think I'm gonna disappear. You're not gonna take me. Is that you?
It's me. I came home.
Ricky?
It's Ricky.
I know my own grandson's name. It's Ricky. Now come here.
Okay, I'm Ricky. Of course I am Ricky. That's me.
You stupid boy. Where have you been?
Stop hitting me.
It's days and days. I keep hearing all these stories, people disappearing off the streets. There's nothing official in the download, but there are all these rumors and whispers. I thought they'd gone and disappeared you.
I can't go on the stairs. I told you to get it fixed. You're going to fall and break your neck.
Well, you get it fixed, Roman.
Should have done way back. I guess I'm just kind of useless.
No, I never said that.
I am, though. No, I'm sorry, Gavin. I'm so sorry.
Don't talk like that. Do you know what you need? A nice sit-down and a cup of tea. You got time?
For you, I've all the time in the world.
Oh, you say that, but it's all talk. It's those new friends of yours. I don't trust them.
What friends are they?
Don't pretend you don't know. You've been seen. Mrs. Chan told me, driving about all helter-skelter in that van.
Okay, guys, and this, how can you not be emotional when you watch this? Mickey and his grandma. I love learning more about characters that are secondary characters and lesser known characters, I guess, which is why this episode is fun as well. We learn more about Jackie and Pete, but we also learn a little bit more about Mickey, and I really enjoy this. I enjoy how we learn about his grandma and how he lost her, and that is why he's so close to Rose, because she is his family, and I really enjoy that. I love that deep learning and learning more about these characters. I love it. I love learning. I like how we throw them on a path. We throw them into an adventure. But you still learn more about the actual character, not about the adventure. The monsters are fun. But I watch Doctor Who to learn more about these characters. These characters put in these awkward positions, which makes their characterizations come out. So it makes their vulnerability and their emotions and their friendships and their... It puts tension on all the regular parts of life that we have all the time. And I like that dynamic. I find it really entertaining and interesting. And they do a really good job in Doctor Who. I've always found that their characters are really well written, even on their one-off characters. Occasionally there'll be one or two that are not. But, for example, last week with the girl in the fireplace, Renette was wonderfully written. She had depth and character. And the episode before that, we always have these really great characters, even when they're so secondary. And I love learning more, and I love this kind of characterization. And Doctor Who is so full of characterization, and I love it. And that is why I come back, ladies and gents, for the characterization. Basically, that's all the clips I grabbed for this first episode. It is really well written. I feel like it has really good pacing. It has good information. It's not too overdrawn with the techie stuff or the boring stuff. Boring to me, I guess. I don't know if it's boring to everyone else. And that's funny because I love tech. But sometimes stories get overwritten by the villain or that part of the plot. But they did a really good job this episode, and I felt it was well written and well balanced. This first half, we get a lot of plot, a lot of exposition in this episode, and then we get a lot more action the next episode, and we kind of test those relationships and the problems and things like that, and I really enjoy that part of it. One thing I don't understand about Doctor Who, guys, and I'm gonna bring this up now because I didn't watch these episodes when they came out, and maybe when I watch the future episodes when they come out, I'll remember if this happened, but do they always do cliffhangers and then right after the cliffhanger have the preview for next episode, which completely counteracts the cliffhanger? It's like a half cliffhanger because literally, and this is so true about Doctor Who, they'll be in a scrape in these two-parter episodes. They'll be in some really deep scrape and they'll be surrounded by people with guns or something, as they are here, gonna be killed. And then it's freeze to be continued. And then next episode, like 30 seconds in, they're out of the equation. Like, so fast, they have solved this mystery and are not in a scrape anymore. It's like they plan a scrape in the middle of the episode so they can pause it just on that second and then pick it up and move past it. But then in the preview for the next episode, it talks about what happens after that scrape. So clearly they get out of it. So it's not a very good cliffhanger. So what do you guys think? Should they not do these cliffhangers anymore? I mean, they're kind of fun, but they're kind of useless. They should just raise the tension and then pause. I don't know if they should, like, they do these cliffhangers. I don't know how I feel about them. You guys, let me know what you think. And let's get started with the second episode here. Okay, so now we are on The Age of Steel. Same writer and director. But this one was original air date, May 20th, 2006. So, let's get started with that first clip. All right, so this clip, again, it's kind of more of what I already talked about before, about humans submitting and choosing the easy life, and not really making that effort. The doctor, in this episode, the way he thinks about humans is very polar. So he has these moments of being frustrated with them, but it's almost like being frustrated with your children. Like, it's not, you're not mad at them, you're not angry at them, you're just frustrated and want them to be better, but you still love them with all your heart. And I feel like that's how the doctor feels about humans, because later on he talks about how awesome humans are and their ingenuity and their creativity and all of that. So I really like this clip because I think it's kind of interesting to think about how we can be blindsided because we want our life to be easy. This is a commonality. Everything in our life is to make it easier, but we don't enjoy the struggles, and I think that's what the doctor's talking about, and I think he is correct. If we make it too easy, then what's the point? I don't know. So I like this kind of thought. I like it when he's a little bit thought-provoking, and this is one of the moments, and I'm always like, oh, he's so mad at humans, but I have to actually think about it and be like, no, he's not mad at them. He loves them. He's just wishing for them to be better, and that makes me happier. I don't like it when he's just mad at the humans. The doctor has a strong personality, and I like it when he is wishing for their best and striving for the humans to be the best they can be and frustrated when they don't get there. So, I like this. Okay, this moment I love. Love, 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 love. So this man has created this technology, to keep the humans alive because he is dying and he has used all of his smarts to get him here and to get him where he needs to be. So, this is great. There's no problems with this. I have no problems. Obviously I have problems with it, but like his ingenuity, his creativity, all this stuff is great. I love how when he is forced to be upgraded because he's gonna die, he doesn't want to. He wants to be frickin' human as long as he can. Come on, Lumic. You can't force other people to upgrade when you don't really want to upgrade. You can't force this on people. Free will is a huge thing. Let them have it. Let them have their free will. I love this moment because it's so ironic. It's like what he's forcing on everybody, he doesn't even want himself. I just love this thought. And it makes him so much more human and also so much more awful. I don't know. It's funny. He's preaching about how great this is, how this is the best and how everyone should want this, but he doesn't want it. And I weirdly really enjoy that. Really, really do.
We've got to get in there and shut it down.
How do we do that? Well, I'll think of something. You're just making this up as you go along.
Yep. But I do it brilliantly.
Okay, I literally put this clip in because it was funny. I love when the doctor admits to his ingenuity on the spot. I gotta stop using ingenuity. He is so intelligent and so quick on his feet that he always just manages to solve the problems. Just manages to solve them at the drop of a hat. Look, I'll figure it out. And I'll figure it out and it'll be great. And it's so true because the doctor figures it out and it's just great. So I really, really like that. I think it's funny. And if I'm amused, I appreciate the quote. So I put it in here, and that's that.
Ooh. Emotional inhibitor. Stops you feeling anything. Why? Still got a human brain. Imagine its reaction if it could see itself, realize itself as artistic. I'd go insane.
So they cut out the little thing that makes them human?
Because they have to.
Why am I God?
Oh my God, it's alive. You can see it.
But I've been able to. I'm so sorry.
Why am I so God?
Can you remember your name?
Sally Feynman.
You're a woman.
Where's Gareth?
Who's Gareth?
He can't see me. It's no lucky the night before.
You're getting married.
I'm cold. I'm so cold.
It's all right. You sleep, Sally. It's
that's the key. The emotional inhibitor. If we could find the code behind it, the cancellation code, then feed it throughout the system into every Cyberman's head.
You'd realize what they are.
And what happens then?
I think it would kill them. Can we do that?
We've got to. Before they kill anyone else. There's no choice, Doctor. It's got to be done.
If you didn't cry in this scene, you have no heart. Oh my gosh, I just put the whole scene here because it breaks my heart, this moment. And I don't know why. I mean, I do know why this breaks my heart. I love it when villains become victims. We have this moment, we think, oh my gosh, Cyberman, so awful. And we know what a Cyberman is. We know about it. But I do like how this moment, I don't know, this moment just breaks your frickin' heart, because you learn that this is a woman. A regular woman who had her life in front of her, who had plans, who had a future. And now she's turned into this machine, and it's heartbreaking. She can't... Well, they don't explain it to her, thank goodness, but, like, she would never be able to abide by what's happening. It's just, like, you know that her life is done. She no longer has this as an option, and, oh my gosh, guys, this sort of thing breaks my heart. Because she's a victim. She's a villain when she has her emotions turned off. But when they're on, such a victim. Oh. Always need a little bit of breather after this part. It's just so sad and it's so depressing. It's like a weight on you because you just can't. You can't, like, feel this. It's too much. Moving past this clip, because it's too emotional.
I will bring peace to the world. Everlasting peace. And unity. And uniformity.
An imagination, or mother? One thing that led you here. Imagination. You're kidding it, dead!
Okay, so this clip is a little bit interesting. It really brings up an interesting topic for me. A little bit of a political topic, and I don't usually talk about politics when talking about Doctor Who, even though I'm sure someone out there could pick, like, anything and write papers on the politics in Doctor Who, because I know that they do bring them up. I'm just not huge into politics. I obviously know what's going on, but I don't try not to bring it too much into my life, because it depresses me. But this part is really talking about the uniformality of the Cybermen. Cybermen are one, Cybermen are the same. There is no difference between them. They don't have imagination, they don't have creativity, they are just one being multiplied. And it almost takes away their humanity. And this really, really makes me think of communism. And it makes me really think, which we kind of knew, Doctor Who is more of like the liberal end of the scale versus the communists. And I'm sure you guys have other parties you may think Doctor Who is. I'm just choosing liberal because it's like that side of it. It doesn't have to be liberal, but more on that end, more free thinking, more, I don't know, that sort of stuff, like, left wing? Sorry guys, I have no idea what sides of the spectrum they are on, but it is more of the liberal side versus the communist side. And it's interesting to think that this is how we're painting the world. But that is true, because North American culture and British culture is more liberal. And so this is the way we're thinking, this is the way our TV is written, this is the way most things are done. And they show that other ways of thinking are not as good. It's a nice little push, kind of, on that, a nice little hint. I like it. I mean, sort of. I don't love getting into politics because I know everyone has their thoughts, and I allow them to have their thoughts. I'm sure you have reasons behind whatever you believe. I am not a follower of communism, so I don't feel horrible saying that. I don't really believe in it, and I think this is a fair thought. I mean, I don't think that it's quite as extreme. Communism is not as extreme as Zuckerman, so don't worry, communists out there, if you're listening. I apologize. But I like how Doctor Who always brings up these topics. They try to throw random things in. They try to make people talk. And I really like starting discourse. And I believe that discourse is such an important thing to have in regards to all topics. I think that everyone should talk about everything. And we should have all of our thoughts on the table. Stop being so politically correct and have discussions. Don't be mean. Don't punch people in the face. But have these discussions. It's good to disagree. It's good to have different opinions. It's good to talk to you about these, and it's good to spark conversation and make people think about their situations in other ways. And I like that. I actually really like being in the situation where, like, oh, that's me. Shoot. That's a different way of thinking of what I'm doing. I really like that position. I like learning more. I like seeing myself in a different way and maybe improving or staying the same, depending on how I see myself. It's just, I'm rambling a lot. I'm sorry, guys, this is a little bit longer than I intended to talk about this point. But yeah, it's just kind of discourse. I like lots and lots of discourse on all topics. Politics is just one I usually don't talk about. So this is my end of the politics. But it's interesting to see that it's there. Or at least I did. If you guys think that it's not there or it's there, or you have opinions on politics and you think I'm completely off base, please reach out to me. Love, love, love to hear you guys' opinions.
The thing is, I'm staying.
You didn't what?
You can't.
It's all balances out, because this world lost this Ricky, but there's me. And there's work to be done with all those cybermen still out there.
But you can't stay.
It was my granny. She's still alive, my old grand, remember that?
Yeah.
She needs me.
What about me? What if I need you?
Yeah, but Rose, you don't. It's just you and him, isn't it? We had something a long time ago, but not anymore.
But we'll come back. We can travel anywhere, can you see, yeah?
We can't. I told you, travel between parallel worlds is impossible. We only got here by accident. We fell through a crack in time. When we leave, I'm going to close it. We can never return.
Doctor?
Take Rose's phone. It's got the code. Get it out there. Stop those factories. Good luck.
Okay, our final clip today is Mickey's farewell. So this is quite a tumultuous moment for Rose. It's quite sad. I like how even the doctor is kind of surprised. I understand why Mickey did it. He's there for his grandma. He feels like he doesn't have anyone left. And I kind of, other than Jackie, who half likes Mickey, they have a very weird relationship after she thought, you know, he kidnapped Rose. What was it, a year ago? It's kind of true. Mickey is kind of the plus one. He doesn't really have, like, he might, we don't know about it, but he doesn't seem to have a life outside of Rose. So he worked in that shop. I don't know what happened to that, but I like how he kind of made this decision. He was the hero this episode, and I've really been looking forward to this episode where we see Mickey as a hero. We will maybe see him again. But I'm really looking, like, I'm really happy that we see him as the hero. He deserves it. He is always been labeled as the idiot. Then he was the tech guy, and then he was the tin dog. And now he gets to be the hero. He's the one who saved the day, and he's the one who's staying behind to clean up the mess. And I think that's a really strong move from him. I actually really like it. And I also like how Rose and Mickey are finally done, guys. The back and forth of, are they together, are they not? Which, clearly Rose was not committed in that relationship. They are officially done. This what if, sort of, maybe, over. And they're both stronger for it. They needed this. They needed to break. And I don't think Rose could have let him go unless it was in one of these situations. Not officially. She wouldn't let him, like, she would move on, but he would always be there kind of as a crutch, and he would hang on to her. And I think that both of them needed this to fully part, and I think that Mickey needs to be a hero, and he can't when the doctor's there. He struggles a bit with the doctor being there, and he struggles a bit being the hero. I mean, the doctor has enabled him to be a hero, but he also will grow so much farther with using what the doctor has taught him, but being away from the doctor. That is my theory. Correct me if I'm wrong in your opinion, but that is what I think. But I love this moment. So good. Oh, so good. Why is Doctor Who so good, guys? Okay, those are all my clips. Just a random piecemeal episode of things that I liked and didn't like. Well, mostly liked. Again, yeah, this half of the episode was a lot stronger, a lot more emotional. Cry, cry, cry. The whole time. And really had more of a feeling to it. We learnt more. We felt more. I love learning about secondary and tertiary characters, and I feel like we really did in this half, whereas in the first half we didn't learn as much. We learned a little bit about Jackie and Pete, but not really about really secondary and tertiary characters. So I'm really glad that we learned that. I can do a little bit of my favorite things. I feel like I'm a little bit of Julie Andrews in this moment. Sorry, Sound of Music. Joke in there. Gosh, I'm weird today. My favorite things. So, my favorite character this episode is Mickey. He ended on a really good note. And I feel like he was really strong this episode, and I really enjoyed him. So I'm going to pick him as my favorite. Guys, let me know who you think are your favorites. My favorite part of this episode, probably because it's, like, made me so emotional, is that part about the Cybermen talking about her wedding. Don't know why, it just makes me so sad to see that her life and her journey was stalled. Just stopped. It was like, really made it personal. You really felt awful. So it's my favorite part, I guess. My least favorite part is in the beginning, all that Cybermen stuff. It's interesting and, like, it's a good part of the plot. I'm not saying we can't have it. But for me, the personal stuff, the emotion, the journey, that sort of stuff is way better and way more interesting than the actual Cybermen stuff. So I enjoy it a lot more. And I have some questions for you guys that I just quickly jotted down. So hopefully they're good. What do you think about Mickey? Should he have stayed? Do you think he should have gone back home with Rose and the doctor? I mean, clearly I think it's good that he stayed, but I also kind of agree that, like, it seems kind of abrupt. I understand why, but it does seem a little abrupt, so I have opinions on that. Also, I asked a couple questions in the middle, so I asked about the cliffhangers. What do you guys think about the cliffhangers? I know I had a little discussion earlier, so if you guys have an opinion, let me know. And then also the question about politics. How do you feel about this being a political episode? Do you feel that sort of stuff? I mean, there was a president and stuff. There was the political edge in, like, in-text political edge. And then there's also the subtext. So, let me know what you guys think. I think, guys, this is going to end the episode. I feel like it's a good length for us. I'm so sorry about this one being a week late. I don't know what happened. December is always a gong show, and I did not plan my week very well. So I'm so sorry, guys. We're going to have two more episodes in December. My schedule is up on testgpodcast.com, and then we will come back, the beginning of January. So we'll be back on January 8th after the holidays, because, you know, it'll take me a bit to, again, get back. And of course, January 8th episode is like one of my favorites. It's so stupid, but I just love the music. So that's Love and Monsters, if anyone's wondering. Yes, so next week we have Idiot's Lantern, which I like and don't like at the same time. Because I don't really love the plot. But I love the costumes and the scenery and the little emotional moments. But yeah, I'll talk about that next week. So that's Series 2, Episode 7. And then December 18th, we have Episode 8 and 9, The Impossible Planet and The Satan Pit. Which is another interesting and creepy episode. We see the Ood. Have we met the Ood yet? I don't think so. I actually like the Ood. I really do. I think they're sweet. Of course, you don't learn that episode. Well, you sort of do. Anyhow, that's my random aside. So next week we'll be here. Next Monday. And please feel free to rate and review on iTunes. To tweet, Instagram, Facebook, Test Tree Podcast. Search that everywhere and anywhere and you'll find me. Also, I have my survey up for Series 2, so please go to testgpodcast.com and submit the survey. I want to know what you think, what are your favorites, your least favorites of this series, so we can talk about it at the end of the series. Very important, guys, that you fill this out so that I can talk about it with you, and we can discuss our thoughts. If you don't want to fill it out, please just email me your thoughts about Series 2, and I will look at them. My email is testgpodcast@gmail.com. So very, very easy to remember. What else? Also, I have a Patreon page. You can please feel free to visit that if you would like. So that is everything, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so happy to have you guys as my listeners. You are great. Ciao for now. XOXO.